fourth Shramani Didi.
Miseries caused by other living entities, miseries caused by nature. We want to be free from that. We want to be free from death and old age and disease and rebirth. And all that is accomplished as an insignificant byproduct of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And then the actual positive thing that it gives is association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself and entrance into His pastimes. Just imagine becoming a playmate, an associate of that person whose mere portion breathes in and out innumerable universes. So we'll begin by showing some of the artwork done under Srila Gurudev's direction. I'd like to ask Kriyamurti Prabhu and Sachimurti, how many years have you been studying devotion? She told me that it's been all your life. Is that true?
Mm.
Was it you who told me?
No, our association started with yoga.
Uh-huh.
And so that association really only started about 5 years ago. So the introduction to yoga just opens up the whole sphere from the physical side of it through to the more bhakti, devotional area, you know, the more spiritual side. So it just, you know, just starts to grow. And so it's, and just simply being in the yoga circles, I've met Ashok and various other people around. So.
And how many years has that been?
That's only been about 5 years.
Only? That's a lot. So you're quite familiar with the literatures and the philosophy.
Sure, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've both trained as yoga teachers, so that's introduced other aspects of yoga philosophy. Just, you know, just touching on it, but we're certainly familiar with, you know, various aspects.
Beautiful, okay. So, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, who I'll simply call Srila Gurudev, he is the successor of the Krishna consciousness movement in the West established by Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj some 41 years ago. And both of them are coming from a very long chain of disciplic successive masters since the beginning of time, since Brahma, the first created being, to his guru Narada, to his disciple Narada, to his disciple Vyasadev, who in trance revealed all the ancient Vedic scriptures from which we get all of our information as to what is the real nature of this world, its creation, its dissolution, who we are. Are we really products of matter? Was I really born from my parents? Or do I have another, deeper, eternal existence? Where am I from? What am I doing here? How can I go back to my real home? All these questions are answered in the Vedic literatures. So in that same disciplic succession of masters, self-realized masters, our spiritual master, Srila Gurudev, has appeared. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna means that central personality who is accepted in all the revealed scriptures and by all great Vedic saints and sages as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, which is like the ABC book of spiritual life spoken by God Himself 5,000 years ago when He appeared on earth. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by what truth, the absolute truth of existence. Who is the source of everything, the maintainer of everything, the into whom everything is dissolved at the time of destruction, and who is beyond creation and destruction, who is eternally existing in his own abode, which is forever free from illusion, who is directly and indirectly conscious of all things and all beings, and yet is beyond them. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke that one should try to learn the absolute truth by approaching a bona fide, self-realized spiritual master, inquiring of him submissively, and rendering service unto him. The self-realized master will impart knowledge unto you, because he has seen the truth. And when you become situated in that knowledge, yajgyatva na puna moham evam yashasik pandava yena bhutyan yasheshani draksha shatmanyatomai. When one is situated in that knowledge given by the spiritual master, then one becomes free from all illusion, and never again does he fall down into this material cycle of birth and death. At that time, he sees that all living beings are in me and are mine. So that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, he plays, like this picture shows, he plays as a cowherd boy, playing a flute, taking out his cows, and he's the center of love of all creatures there. In this world, we want to be the center of love, and so we want to be competitors of the Lord. And we have a hard time of it, and therefore we're always frustrated. So in the spiritual world, that's the difference between the spiritual world and the material world. Here, we want to be imitation gods, and there, everybody is giving their heart and soul to the real personality of Godhead and enjoying unlimited bliss, knowledge, and eternal life. So here, Krishna is playing his flute, and the gopis, the transcendental cowherd maidens, were in their homes, and they were thinking about how Krishna's out in the forest playing his flute with all of the cowherd boyfriends and the cows and the calves and the birds and the trees there. They're all actually great sages. And everybody there becomes stunned in ecstasy hearing the Supreme Lord's flute playing. So the gopis are singing songs of separation that we wish we were out there playing with Krishna, and they become so deeply absorbed in their song that they actually enter into their song. They enter into the description that they're singing, and they enter into the forest where Krishna's playing. And that's why you see the gopis there in the forest. They've entered there by their absorption in their singing the songs about Krishna. So they are our gurus in teaching us that if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra and our other beautiful songs of devotion with devotion, then we end up in the essence of the mantra. The mantra is actually the Hare Krishna mantra that you were singing tonight. It's not just words, or it's not just a prayer, but it's actually the Supreme Lord himself, which is invested with all of his powers. Just like the Lord can breathe, not can, but does, breathe in and out innumerable universes. He creates millions of universes in a second. He destroys them in a second. He recreates them in a second. So all of his power is invested in his holy name. So the gopis are teaching us by their own example how, if we become absorbed in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, then we actually enter into the mantra, which is actually Krishna and his supreme pleasure potency and the whole spiritual world and all of his pastimes. All of his incarnations are there, all of his associates, all of his powers, everything is there. So this is the lesson of this painting. And by the way, all the details of all the paintings that you'll be seeing came from Srila Gurudev, came out of his heart, through his mouth, into my ears and mind, and then out my hands. So you see the water there. I don't know if you noticed, but just underneath that lotus flower, like the, looks like there's a hand there. That's the hand-shaped wave of the Jamuna River. I once went to the beach in 1967 with our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, had a house on the beach for a couple of weeks. And we went to visit him, and he took us out onto the beach. We were all sitting on a blanket. And he said, here, the ocean is not conscious. Not conscious. But in the spiritual world, all the oceans and rivers and everything is fully conscious and fully in ecstasy. Here, if the rivers have whirlpools or waves, it just means there's something happening with the wind. But there, in that realm where we want to go, you can see there are whirlpools there at the bottom. That means like being bewildered in ecstasy. And the waves are waves calling out to Krishna and offering him lotus flowers. So we want to be in that fully conscious place where we're also fully conscious of who I am, what is my relationship with Krishna, and acting in that relationship. You pick it, and I'll... This is a picture of Gaura and Nittai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the yellow, and Nityananda Prabhu in the blue. And Srila Gurudev posed. He poses for most of the paintings, and a lot of the people. He acts it out, what it should look like. So he also stood up and posed for Gaura and Nittai. And Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga, is Krishna himself, having taken the complexion and the loving mood of Krishna's transcendental pleasure potency, his eternal consort, Radharani. And he came to this material world to taste the love, the highest love of his pleasure potency, and also to give us a taste of that love, a touch of that very highest love, which is unimaginable in this material world. And then his chief associate, Nityananda Prabhu, he is called Akhanda Guru Tattva. He is the undivided principle of Guru. And all of the Gurus in our disciplic succession are all manifestations of Lord Nityananda. And there in the back you see millions and millions of people who are joining in with the Lords, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And our Gurus are also in that group. In the perfectional stage, in this line of philosophy, in the perfectional stage, one gets two spiritual forms. One with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radhika, to eternally chant Hare Krishna with the inner absorption of that supreme planet, which we showed you in the previous picture. And the other spiritual form is in that very place that you saw in the previous slide. So we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, as Astasiddhi Prabhu was reading in the song, that he's our only shelter, he's our only friend in this world. And if we, it's not an exclusive thing, because if we take his shelter and accept him as our only friend, then automatically, because he is the source of all existence, automatically we love all living beings. If we try independently or separately, without him being the center, to make friends, then automatically friends become enemies, and we have so many enemies. But if we make him our friend, then it doesn't matter how anybody feels or what their consciousness is. From our point of view, we become the friend of all, including the insects and the trees. So how blissful does that person become? Wow. This is any other Manjari. A Manjari means a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. And this is a very, very confidential matter, that this is actually the goal of our all of our devotional service. The goal is to realize our spiritual form as the maidservant of Radha and Krishna. Radharani being Krishna's compassionate counterpart, Krishna's internal complete power, Krishna's all-accommodating, inconceivable energy, who is his power in manifesting his own form, his abode, his pastimes, his incarnations, this material world, the living entities, us, eternal beings in this world. That is Srimati Radhika, and this is one of her maidservants. And if any of you will kindly come to Vrindavan, especially for Kartik this October-November, and come with us on the one-month parikrama of the Holy Land of Vrindavan, then you'll see the life-size picture of this painting in our temple in Vrindavan. Astasiddhi Prabhu? Where'd he go? Oh, with the babies. Well, that's nice of him. I was going to ask him to take everybody here. So this also was done under the request of Srila Gurudev, and he also helped with all the details. This is a picture of Radha and Krishna, and just as Krishna, although the Supreme Lord who controls the god of the rain, the god of the wind, the god of the oceans, all other lords, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Durga, the warden of this prison house of this material world. Although there are so many gods and goddesses, they are all manifestations of Krishna. So although he's God, he prefers to enjoy in a position higher than God, which is as a transcendental cowherd boy. And his internal power, his complete energy, is in the form of a cowherd girl. And their loving pastimes are the source of all existence. We read about this in the Vedic literatures. The scientists say that the source of all existence is a chunk. Don't they teach that? Just a chunk of rock, which became the insects and the microbes and like that. So here, Krishna is asking Radharani, she went to fetch water in the Jamuna River or Radhakund, and Krishna knew that she would be going there, so he came there and said to her, "Oh Radharani, I see you have two heavy pots. Can I help you carry one?" So she says, "No, thank you. I am a very chaste housewife, and I'm not interested in speaking to debauchees." See, Radha and Krishna are one. They're like one candle with two wicks and flames, or they're like one stem with two flowers. They're one soul with two bodies, that absolute truth in the male and female form. So although they're one for enjoying pastimes together, they become two. And in that two, their relationship with each other is as divine paramour. Just like here, in this world, it's not considered very nice if somebody has a wife, and then the wife runs off with another man. That's not considered an elevated situation, although this current age of Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, is getting so degraded that those kind of people are glorified and in the newspapers. And in fact, Gurudev said, people even get in the Guinness Book of Records for how many times they've switched or left their partner for another one. But in the Vedic culture, Indian Vedic culture, chastity is very glorified. But in the relationship of a husband and wife, you kind of get used to each other. But with a paramour, there's always, and there's no risk because everybody accepts that relationship. But with a paramour, there's always a risk. They have to sneak off and watch that nobody's looking, and it's always exciting and fresh and new. So where does this idea of paramourship come from? Everything has its origin in the Absolute Truth, Janmad Yashi Yataha. But there in the Absolute Truth, it's completely pure. In fact, it's higher than wedded love. And this is the choice of the Supreme Lord to have that paramour love. So, but where is there going to be another man besides Krishna for Radharani to marry? So Krishna himself makes his shadow be Radharani's husband. He doesn't look like a shadow. He looks like a real man. Our shadow looks like a shadow, no substance. So Krishna's shadow became Radharani's husband so that she could leave her husband and sneak off to be with Krishna. And that makes the relationship ever fresh and new. It's not that that's what makes the relationship ever fresh and new. Everything there in the spiritual world is nitya, nabanabhaya mana, always new. Just like here in this world, everything starts out new, like a newspaper. You get it in the morning. Prabhupada said you put it on your chest, under your arms, and you just hold on to it tightly. And by the next day, you throw it in the garbage because it's old. Nobody keeps old newspapers except for putting on the floor when you're painting the walls and things like that. Or in India, they cut it into little pieces and wrap their goods in for selling.
Can I go ask you a question?
Yeah.
Sorry, but what is paramour love?
Paramour love means unwedded love. Okay. That is, here, it's like if you have a wife, and I met her, and if your wife sneaks off at night to go off with another man, that's paramour love. And that love in this world is abominable, isn't it? But that's because this world is a perverted reflection of that world. So there, the paramour love of Radha and Krishna and the gopis is the highest morality. And here, in its perverted reflection, it's debased and immoral. Just like you have a tree. And the tree is situated on the riverbank. So then you have the reflection of the tree. And there, number one, everything is upside down, right? The roots are up and the branches are down. Not only is everything upside down, but there's no substance there. Suppose there's a fruit or a flower that you could pick from the real tree, but that same fruit and flower in the water is just muddy water. And if you go to grab it, you just get water. And then I go to grab something else of the tree, and it's the same muddy water. There's no real substance. So the same thing with everything in this material world, it's a perverted reflection. And so that's why what's bad here is good there. What's good here is bad there. Just like stealing is bad, I mean, everybody knows stealing is bad. But there, Krishna's stealing is good. It's glorifiable. When Krishna, as a little baby, goes and steals butter from the houses of the other elderly gopis, they actually want this. This is when Krishna's a little baby and he was stealing butter and yogurt. So he goes to the different houses and steals butter and yogurt. But actually, that's what the elderly gopis, who aren't his mother, they're waiting for that all day, just so they can get a glimpse of him. because when he comes to steal their butter, he's so charming, he steals their hearts. We've just been having a brief slideshow presentation explaining the glories of the holy name and the nature of this world versus the spiritual world through the medium of the paintings. So does that make it more clear?
Yeah, but even in this world, don't you get the bhava for Krishna, different kinds of bhavas?
Very good question. So we're just saying the difference between the spiritual world and the material world, and you're asking, but don't you get the spiritual moods in this world too? That's absolutely true, and in that case, you're not in the material world, but you're in the spiritual world. Because everything depends on consciousness. Just like our Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice example when he came to visit us in New York City in 1972. He said the king is sitting on the throne and a mosquito is also sitting on the throne. And the king is thinking, I have to take care of the welfare of all my people. He has king's consciousness and he's living in that realm. And the mosquito is thinking, how can I bite the king? Where can I find a place with his just open skin? So he's living in mosquito world. Just thinking of blood. So depending on the consciousness, that's the world we live in. So in the spiritual world, God is the center of all the activities. Everybody, when some big problem comes, everybody's afraid for him, not for themselves. Whereas here, everybody's afraid for me first. And that's what makes it this material world. And that's what makes that the spiritual world. Yes.
Like you said, with this photograph, there's a group who they love Krishna, although you're stealing the butter. You can have the same situation in this world, like even if you see a little child, you can have that relationship, that love of a baby Krishna with a normal child.
Yes. That's there because everything is a reflection of that world.
Yeah.
But the problem is that in this world there are buts. In this world it's a nice day, but it will rain. It's a nice day, but it will end. It's a nice day, but I will die. So we feel love if a child does a little prank and takes some butter that it's not supposed to take. But there are so many buts. That child is miserable. The child gets sick. The child grows up and becomes a torment to the parent. So many buts in this world. But in the spiritual world, there are no buts. In this world, everybody's body, in the spiritual world, everybody's body is made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And in the material world, everybody's body is made of ignorance, misery, and temporality. In this world, I find my baby cute, but somebody else's baby may be suffering in the street or hit by a car, and I don't really care. At most, I'll pick it up and put it on the street, but without a relationship, I don't really care. But when one loves Krishna, he automatically loves all living entities. Just like if, suppose there's a little pond, and I throw my little pebble in the pond, and you throw your little pebble in the pond. If my little pebble and your little pebble end up in two different places in the pond, then each one makes concentric circles, and those concentric circles overlap. So if my interest is me, and your interest is you, then there'll be conflict in interactions. By nations, there are wars. So, in humans, there are, if not verbal or physical disputes, there's mental ill feelings. But if everybody would take their pebble and throw it in the same exact spot, then those concentric circles get bigger and bigger without overlapping, and they hit all the shorelines. So Prabhupada explained that if we put our love in Krishna, then our love expands to all living entities with no self-interest, but only for the interest, the spiritual interest of the other person. Thank you for your contribution. So, now we're getting into some of the paintings that we did under Gurudev's guidance for the Bhagavad Gita. I think many of you are familiar with the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, spoken by Krishna himself 5,000 years ago. Who I am, who God is, how I can connect with God, why I'm suffering. Like, I think I'm suffering because somebody insulted me, or I think I'm suffering because a mosquito bit me. But really, the cause of all my suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. Our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada gave an analogy that if you can all hold your palm up, just hold your palm out, and you see that the palm is in the light. Now turn your palm down, if you could look at your palm from kind of like underneath, and you see that your palm is in the shadow. So when we're facing the light, it's in the light. We're facing away from the light, then it's in the darkness. And in the darkness, things can't be seen as they are. Whereas as soon as the light goes on, then you can see everything. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime, so the sun of transcendental knowledge lights up the dark heart of ignorance of who I am, who everybody else is. Like with the chanting cleanses the dust from the mirror of the mind. In the mirror of my mind, if it's dusty, I can neither see myself, nor can I see you, if I'm looking in the mirror of my mind, nor can I see the world around me. But if that mirror is cleansed, then I can see everything very clearly. So the chanting cleanses the dust from the mirror of the heart so that first I see God and through him I can see everybody else clearly. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches all these things. What is karma? That is, I do something bad, I have to get a bad reaction. I think of something at the time of death, and according to what I think of, I get the next body. Just as the air carries the aroma, Krishna says in the Gita, from one body to another, so our mental conception carries us... Did I say place or body? Just as the air carries fragrances from one place to another, so similarly, our mental conceptions carry us from one body to another. And our conceptions and our identification and our past activity is the cause of all the good and bad that comes to us. I'm allotted X number of bad things, 33 bad things, and 28 good things, and 55 halfway things. It's already allotted, and it cannot be changed, no matter what kind of friendships I get into for protection, that, you know, I'll get into some good friendships and these people will protect me, or I'll get a big family and the family will protect me. Nothing can protect me from my 37, 25, and 53 good and bad things that are allotted to me, except Krishna consciousness. Because just like if you're in a prison and you're allotted, say, 5 years sentence, but if you're really good, then you may get out on parole, or you may just get free. So good means, in this sense, if we become Krishna conscious, then the doors of the prison house of this material world of threefold miseries, of birth, old age, disease, and death are open. I may struggle against the bars, but that's not going to do anything. But if I agree to serve the state, and show that I want to serve, then the doors are automatically open. I'm sorry? This is all by the grace of Guru, and therefore, especially for the new people, we're introducing the idea of the bona fide self-realized spiritual master. And here's one of them right there. This is Srila Vyasadeva, who is one of the first self-realized masters in our line of disciplic succession. The very first is Lord Brahma, the first created being of the universe. And then his disciple is Narada. Narada is the eternal spaceman, you could say, who travels all over infinite universes playing his veena and chanting Hare Krishna and enlightening souls everywhere and accepting disciples from all different planets and universes. So his disciple is Srila Vyasadeva, who is the literary incarnation of Krishna and who compiled all the Vedic literatures by his own mystic trance, and who also wrote the Bhagavad Gita. And his ultimate literary contribution is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the beautiful stories of Krishna. And for those of you who are guests and new, Asta Siddhi Prabhu has so many, can connect you with so many of these beautiful literatures. This is Srila Vyasadeva, and he's giving transcendental vision to his disciple who surrendered to him. As we mentioned earlier, Krishna said in Gita that who surrenders to the spiritual master and inquires of him submissively, renders service to him, then that spiritual master will give a spiritual vision. And with that spiritual vision and transcendental knowledge, he gets a TV set in his heart so that he can understand everything of this world and of the spiritual world. So here, Sanjaya, the disciple of Vyasadeva, because of his sincere surrender and service, he's getting this transcendental knowledge. Anywhere. Yeah. Okay. So now we'll talk about the glories of the holy name. She'll keep showing slides, but we'll talk about the glories of the name. And I'll talk about the glories of the holy name through some of the prayers in our songbook and some of the songs. The first one, Jayati Jayati Nama Nandarupam Murare Viramita Nija Dharma Dhyana Puja Diyatnam Katamapi Sakradatam Muktidam Praninam Yat Paramamritam Ekam Jivanam Bhushanam Me. That is, all glories to the holy name of Krishna. Now, like, I have a name, and my name is not me. If you say my name and I'm somewhere else, then I can't be there. But Krishna, if we simply say Krishna's name, like, and I have qualities too. Like, I know how to paint some pictures, I know how to skip and jump, I know how to read and write. So, but if you chant my name, neither me nor my qualities will be there. But with Krishna, because he's an absolute personality, one without a second, he's not different from his name. So simply by chanting his name, all the powers that he has, that powers as mentioned before, that he can create and destroy innumerable universes, all those powers are there on your tongue. All of his beauty, all the beauty in the world is not even an atom of his beauty. His wealth, all the wealth in this world and all the worlds are not an atom of his wealth. So it's not that he has a name that's separate from him, but he has a name, but he also is his name, And that name himself lifts mountains and does all those things. So especially when one is initiated into the holy name by the bona fide guru, that means he's getting the seed planted in his heart, which will gradually grows by the process of chanting and hearing under proper guidance and good association, the guidance of Guru. It gradually grows into, that seed grows into a plant, and that plant shoots through all the different planetary systems, through all the spiritual planets, to the highest planet, Goloka Vrindavan, and wraps itself around the lotus feet of Krishna, where it blossoms flowers and fruits, and then one tastes those fruits of love of God. So all glories to the name of Krishna, the enemy of lust and the embodiment of divine bliss. It halts, that holy name halts the cycle of birth and death and relieves one of all other more painful practices for spiritual realization. It stands alone, this holy name stands alone as the supreme nectar and treasure of my life. Then, madhura madhura metan mangalam mangalanam sakala nigama bali satkritam chitswarupam sakadapi parigitam shradaya helayava briguvara naramatram taraya krishna nama. This holy name of Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest thing, and it's the most auspicious of all auspicious things. It's the fully ripened fruit of the tree of all the hundreds of books of Vedic knowledge. That is, we have 60 volumes of books that our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada translated and commented on, of the Vedic knowledge. And Srila Gurudev also, about 50 or 60 books. So all that knowledge and wisdom and the realization of it, the experience of it, is all there in the holy name. That you've been given or will be given the seed of that fruit. The holy name is the embodiment of knowledge. And if one chants it only once, with faith or with indifference, he is immediately delivered from the ocean of birth and death. Our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada gives this analogy. Like nowadays we have digital cameras, which are really quite amazing things. But in the olden days, we had manual cameras. They weren't only not digital, but you had to like move and click the thing every time you wanted to take another picture. And if you forget to do that, then you get double exposure. You have one picture made on top of another. And if you keep forgetting to click it before your next shot, click it to number two, click it to number three. If you forget to do that, and you're all so happy that, you know, you went out on your family picnic reunion, and now you have so many pictures, and then you go to the film store, and then they print out your roll, and it's all black, because it's one on top of another on top of another. So we have all these impressions for millions and millions of births. When I was a dog and a cat and a giraffe and a demigod, and then these millions and billions of lives and zillions and unlimited impressions are all one on top of another on the mirror of my heart. And all I see is the dust of these impressions, so I can't really see anything, it's all black. So the first installment of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. It cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. Bhava-maha-dava-agni-nirvapanam. And the fire of repeated birth and death is extinguished. Sreya-koidava-chandra-kavataranam. It makes the moon of all good fortune expand to be a full moon. Vidya-badu-jivanam. It's the life of all transcendental knowledge. That is... Okay, fine. All knowledge is at your feet by chanting. There's a very beautiful song that we sing to the holy name. Does anybody know the tune? Jaya Jaya Hari Nam Chiranandanam Ritam Paratattva Aksharaya Kara Nija Jane Kripa Kori Nama Rupe Avatari Jivadoya Kori Leya Para. All glory to the holy name, the storehouse of nectar. Are we getting plugged in?
Yeah, I have to wait for a minute to...
Huh?
I have to wait for a minute before I can unplug the...
No, I mean plugged into the...
I know, but I have to unplug the projector to plug in the...
Oh. Oh. And then we have no more...
No, I can switch it to the...
Okay.
Where the computer
okay.
is
okay. So the holy name is the storehouse of all divine knowledge and bliss. And this holy name is none other than the Supreme Truth. One who knows the Supreme Truth, all relative truths are known to him, just like Gurudev, because he knows the spiritual world, the details of the spiritual world, then all the details of the material world are known to him, though he may hide the fact that he knows that. The analogy is given of a tree that's full of so much detail. The bark is so pretty, and there are little butterflies and birds and beautiful flowers, fragrant and sweet fruits, and symmetric leaves. So if somebody knows the details of that tree, you can just look at it, then you automatically know the details of the shadow. So if somebody knows Krishna, then he knows all the details of Krishna's dominion, both spiritual and material. Like Gurudev said once, he said, why go to an astrologer? I can simply look at your forehead and tell you 10,000 births, to speak of 10 years, forward and back. I can tell you 10,000 births, forward and back. And by the mercy of Guru, one achieves the mercy of God himself, and therefore all of the bad things that were supposed to happen to me first get minimized, and then they totally go away by surrender to Nam, to the holy name, under the guidance of Guru. So the second verse, Jaya Jaya Krishna Nam Jagajana Suvisram Savajana mana sadanjana Muni vrinda nirantara Chena mera samadara Kori kaya bariya vadana. All glories to the holy name of Krishna, which is the sublime shelter for all living entities. There's so many histories of the devotees taking shelter of the holy name and becoming free from all danger. One example is the example of Draupadi. Draupadi is a pure devotee of Krishna. And once, to take revenge against her husband and her, some very evil people in a cheating game of dice won the kingdom and all the wealth of her five husbands, the Pandavas. And because they lost her in this cheating gambling match, they couldn't help her when these very evil people tried to strip her naked in the assembly of crude and rude men who were all big government leaders, kings and princes and ministers. So Draupadi tried to save herself by holding on to her garments, but still they kept coming off because the evil person who was pulling on her sari was so powerful. So then she held up one hand to call out to Krishna, and with the other hand she was holding, or with her mouth she was holding on to the sari, but she couldn't help herself. And then she just surrendered to the holy name, Govinda, Krishna. And all of a sudden, because Krishna is non-different from his holy name, he was there, he was in another city, and he began running around his room, and his queens were asking, Krishna, why are you running around the room? And he said, well, my devotee, Draupadi, she's calling for me, she's in danger. So then they said, so why don't you go? So then Krishna said, because she's not fully taking shelter of my name. She's holding on to the sari, and she's calling out to me, but she's still trying to do it herself. So then finally she gave up trying to do it herself, and she took full shelter of Krishna's holy names. And then, even without his shoes, Krishna left, and in a moment appeared in that palace room where she was attempted to be stripped naked. And he incarnated as her unlimited cloth. So no matter how much they were pulling off, she still had all her clothes. And finally he became so tired that he just gave up, and she became famous and glorious because she was such a great devotee of the Lord and his holy name. So the holy name is the shelter of all living entities. Prahlad Maharaj is a 5-year-old devotee who was always chanting Hare Krishna, and his father was a big, envious, atheistic, monster-like demon who kept trying to kill Prahlad. But Prahlad just kept chanting, and although his father threw him in a pot of boiling oil and threw him in a fire, threw him off a cliff, threw him into a blizzard, threw him at the foot of an elephant, had his demon friends throw boulders at him, still, Prahlad was not afraid because he was simply absorbed in chanting, and Krishna protected him. The holy name protected him in all those circumstances. And the holy name takes them out of the cycle of birth and death and fills all their hearts with delight. The holy name also fulfills material desires, but then it doesn't give us what it really wants to give us. The holy name is like a desire tree, but we have to watch our desire. In Vrindavan, there's a desire tree. There are many desire trees that fulfill all of one's desires. So if we desire Krishna consciousness, that those trees fulfill the desire. So I hope that you'll all come to Vrindavan, especially for Kartik, and we'll all go under all those trees together with Gurudev. But if we have a material desire, a bad desire, then I'll tell you a story of what happens. There was once a king, and he was hunting, and he was taking rest. He sat down under a tree. He didn't know this was a desire tree. And because he was really tired. And then it started getting later in the day. And then he thought, boy, I'm really hungry. I wish I had a big feast. And all of a sudden there was a plate with a big feast there. So he started eating it in great joy. And then it was getting a little later in the day, and he started getting sleepy, and he thought, oh, I'm so tired. I wish I had a bed. soft bed. And all of a sudden there was a nice soft bed there. And then it was getting really late at night. And we were mentioning that in the darkness, like you don't know what's going to happen. So all of a sudden there was a, he started being afraid, and he said, oh, what if there's a tiger comes? And all of a sudden there was a big roar. And then he got petrified, and he thought, what if he eats me? And then he got swallowed up. So we have to watch our desires. And then, the next verse, Ohe Krishna Namakshara Tumi Sarva Shakti Dara Jivera Kalyana Vittarani Toma Vina Bhava Sindhu Udarite Nai Bandhu Asiyache Jiva Yudarani. O syllables of Krishna Nam, you possess all powers in order to bestow all auspiciousness upon the jivas. Coming out for our deliverance, you are our sole friends to rescue us from the ocean of birth and death. Oh, I don't have time to chant now. I have a problem, and I have to solve this problem first. Without realizing that if I take shelter of the holy name will solve my problem. And as Gurudev said, if I meditate on problems, then I build a bridge to the world of problems. But if I meditate on Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pictures, then Krishna himself puts all of my problems on his head and he carries them. So I'll end here and ask if there's any questions. I hope that you have good.
Why is Krishna blue?
That's a very good question.
Is that a Shiva's blue, but a Shiva the same
as Krishna? That's a good question. Why is Shiva blue? Why is Krishna blue? Shiva's blue, so is Shiva the same as Krishna? Good question. So Krishna is blue because he chooses what he wants to be. And blue, just like if we're stuck inside and then we go out into the fresh, airy, beautiful sky and we feel a specifically soothing feeling. So that soothing feeling and that soothing sky and freshness is a reflection of Krishna's body. So his blue is not the blue that we know. We can't imagine that blueness. Also, he's blue like a fresh rain cloud. A fresh rain cloud is also very soothing. So the first comes Krishna and his body, and then the rain cloud comes, and then the sky comes. So regarding Lord Shiva is bluish red because he manifests as a combination of the mode of passion and ignorance. He himself is neither passionate nor ignorant, but he is the predominating deity of particularly the mode of ignorance. He is the lord of all those creatures who are in the mode of ignorance, who follow him, and then he gives them better next lives. They get purified by his association. One of his names is Bhutanath, the lord of the ghosts and hobgoblins, because he's so compassionate that only he has the tolerance to be with them and elevate them. He's also a great devotee, and he's called Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu. That is, he is the greatest Vaishnava. He's also Gopiswar. He is the, he takes the form of a gopi and guards Krishna's Rasa Lila so that nobody who's not qualified can enter. So we pray to Lord Shiva as Gopiswara, Vrindavanavanipati jaya soma mole sanaksanatana sanandana naradedya Gopiswara braja braja what? Gopiswara braja. Forgot it. Do you remember it? Krishna Kanta Prabhu? Gopiswara braja bilasi jugangri padme prema priyacha nirupadi namo namaste. O Gopiswar, you're glorified by Narada and the four Kumaras, and you're always assisting in the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Please give me your mercy and make my heart pure so that I can serve Radha and Krishna. So he's the manifestation of Krishna, who has so many functions in creation and destruction, and he expands as Hanuman, and he expands as Bhim, he expands as Madhvacharya, so many expansions. I'm sorry? Yeah, I did already. Oh, why Lord Shiva has a blue neck? A blue neck, Nilakanta. Because one time, I'm sorry? He swallowed the poison on the order of the Lord. Yeah. Are you a devotee of Lord Shiva? Every kind of yogi is. We have a very beautiful book called Shiva Tattva, which is four lectures given by Srila Narayan Maharaj all about the divine nature of Lord Shiva in relation to Krishna. So that's very, very interesting. Yeah, if he's still up, when he comes down, we'll ask. Any other questions? These are all, as Vasanti is showing you, line drawings, bas reliefs, and paintings done under Gurudev's guidance. You, Rohini?
Why are there so many deities?
Nice. Why are there so many deities? Just like there's, in the, I don't know how it is here in New Zealand, but in the American government, there's a president, and then there's three departments, the judicial, the executive, and the legislative branches, and they all check and balance each other. And then there's the Senate House, and there's so many members of the Senate, so many members of the judicial, and then there's governors and mayors in different lower and lower departments. So that's there in this world because it's a reflection of Krishna's whole government. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he has unlimited incarnations who preside over the spiritual worlds to accommodate different devotees' desire to worship him in different ways, like Ramchandra. There are devotees of Ram, and Ram is none other than Krishna, but Krishna knows that certain devotees have that kind of tendency to serve in that way, so he manifests as Lord Ram, Lord Nrisingadev, half lion, half man for Prahlad. And then there's so many demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, who have functions in the material world to assist with creation, annihilation. Durga, who's the superintendent of the material world and gives various miseries as reactions to our karma, to teach us, don't do anything bad or you'll get bad. Does that? Okay. Then there's a god of the rain and a god of the wind. And if I'm a demigod worshiper and I worship all the demigods nicely, but I insult one of the demigods, then there's complete havoc. Just like if I water the different leaves and branches and flowers of a tree, they just end up wilting. But if I water the root of the tree, then automatically all the leaves and branches are nourished. If I just worship Krishna, then all the demigods and all the incarnations and manifestations are worshipped. And Vasanti will say that verse. Yatatura mula nishe chanena tripchanti tatskanda bujo basakam. Pranopaharascha jatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam achuteja. Just as if one waters the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are automatically watered, and if one feeds the stomach, all the senses and limbs are automatically nourished. Similarly, if one simply worships Krishna, who is the infallible Lord, then everything and everybody is automatically worshipped. Yes, Prue.
Roughly, how long does it take you to do a painting?
Well, these are wall paintings, and that is, they're about 10 feet high, and
they're murals,
but they're also 3D, called bas relief, and they were done. Well, these were done by a whole team of us.
Like
any of these, I would say average a month.
Okay.
We use water-based oils because they're not so toxic like regular oils. You don't have to use the turpentine and things.
Three D
paintings, you mean? Yeah, they're bas-reliefs. That is, they... They're sculptured, yeah. Some of it is flat, but I don't know if you can tell, but some of it is 3D.
Yeah.
Don't you have the dramatic ones? Yeah, you can see there on the wall how they stick out. When you come to Vrindavan, Sureshji, you'll be able to see in live all those. You are coming to Kartik, aren't you? I'm sorry? Well, we didn't make the bas reliefs. We made the line drawings. We gave them to the sculptor. The sculptor used stone and plaster to make all the shapes, and then we painted it after that. And it's so interesting because when it's a 3D painting, you go around it and you see it from all different angles: the front face, the side face, the back of the head. Yeah, and from up and from down. Because you see the rafters that we're all sitting on? They're about 15 feet up in the air. And then mostly the people look from down at the bottom.
Auckland construction.
Yeah.
And it's so Indian, you know, they just wrap them with string.
The Sistine Chapel version 2.
It was like that, yeah, exactly.
I have a question on the paintings that you did.
Can you speak louder?
I have a question of one of the paintings you showed us, in which Radharani is going to get the water and Krishna is saying, can I help you? In which?
That one?
Yeah, it's up on the wall.
Yeah, sure. In that one, can you explain the significance of a head where instead of falling down, it's sort of curled up?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Well, one thing is, as you notice, she's moving and swaying. And so in the breeze, that will make the hair move. As she's turning, like you can see that she's turning. So then the hair will dance also. But it has more of a significance also in that a snake is like that. So when a snake is like that, you know, it can bite you and then... You know, you lose consciousness, you may get poisoned. So, our Acharya, Srila Rupa Goswami, in his poetry, explained that her braid is like a snake, a female snake, that bites Krishna and makes him fall unconscious, because it's so charming and enchanting and attractive that he faints when he sees her. He faints in ecstasy. And once, this is very interesting, as I mentioned, this prayer to Radharani was written by Srila Rupa Goswami, who is also one of those Manjari's maidservants of Radharani, as well as a great acharya in this world and an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So his older brother, another great acharya, Srila Sanatana Goswami, was reading this poem, this prayer, and he said, you know, there's something strange. Why did you use the analogy that Radharani's braid is like a female snake? That's a pretty, like, gross analogy, isn't it? So Rupa Goswami said, okay, well, you look it over and think if you can think of a better analogy for her braid. So then Sanatana Goswami couldn't think of anything, and then he went home, and then as he was walking, he saw some young girls, very beautiful girls, playing, and they were pushing a swing. And there was the most beautiful girl, young teenagers, sitting on the swing. And they were all, you know, joking and laughing and singing. And then all of a sudden, he saw a black, what he thought was a black snake, crawling up her back to her neck. And he got so alarmed, and he said, "Darling daughter, watch it, watch out, be careful." And she looked at him and smiled. And all of a sudden, she disappeared, all of her friends disappeared, and the swing disappeared. And then Sanatana Goswami realized that was Radharani. And so then he went back to his brother, Rupa Goswami, said, "Excuse me, that was the perfect analogy." Any other? It's already